maybe a week or 10 days before the Passover, I received several emails trying to convince me that we need to keep the Passover very late on the 14th. And then you conveniently, after, you know, having unleavened bread with the Passover service, you can go right into Night to be Remembered, and you have leaven for the next 7 days, and it all works out just so simply the way they try to explain it. Well, what I want to do today in my subject, and this is the title of it, When is Evening and When is Morning? Now, I know this doesn't apply to you people. You all know that. But can you turn to scriptures and really show individuals that might have this question exactly, you know, proof that evening starts at the end of a day. When evening comes, it's the start of the next day. Let's go to Exodus 12, and we'll have to go through some of the Passover scriptures. And you might think, well, this is a little strange that he's going through the Passover just after we've gone through that period. But it applies to all of our holy days, and so we need to realize that, and of course every Sabbath as well. In verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, "The Eternal spoke to Moses." So we see where the instruction is coming from, and he told Moses, verse 3, to speak to the congregation. We will move through this rather rapidly because I don't want to take up time from Mr. Farson. So anyway, speak to the children in verse 3, and on this 10th day you're supposed to select a lamb. Verse 4 tells if the lamb's too much for one household, you can, you know, combine the number of people. Verse 5 says you to kill that lamb. Verse 5 says he's supposed to be without blemish. And then verse 6, without blemish. Verse 6, it says you keep it up until the 14th day. Now, until is a very important word. Because if, let's say, for instance, I gave you a gallon of milk and a glass, and I told you to fill it full, until it was full, you would probably come within maybe a quarter inch to the top. You wouldn't probably want to go any closer to the top than that, or you might spill it if you picked the glass up. So in other words, you would not continue on pouring until it was level and maybe even dripping over the side a little bit, and you certainly wouldn't want to run it over so it was running all over the table and then continue pouring and it was all over the floor till finally the whole gallon was gone. That would be way beyond the until. And the same principle applies with telling you keep this until the 14th day. It's at the very beginning, or the, you know, the very early stages. And then you're supposed to kill it in the evening. And in verse 7, you know, you're supposed to take some of the blood and strike it upon the mantle and the side posts. And verse 8, you're supposed to eat it that night. And verse 10, you know, don't eat it raw, but roast it. Verse 10 says, leave nothing of it till morning. And you continue all the way down through the story, and you finally end up in verse 14, verse 14, and it's still talking about the 14th day. Not until verse 15 do you get into the days, with the exception of verse 3, where it says you select the lamb on the 10th. But all these scriptures from there on is talking about this 14th day. Now let's drop down to verse 18. Remember back in verse 6, we said we'd keep it until the 14th. Verse 18, and it'd be better off to not even use the first month, because that's in italics. And always remember that when the Hebrew was written, it was not punctuated. And that is one big error the translators have made. It'd be better to read in the first, on the 14th day of the month, comma, at even, which begins the 15th, you shall eat unleavened bread. I mean, it is so absolutely plain if you really take time to read it and understand it. So at even, which begins the 15th, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 20th day of the month. And at even, you know, there should be a comma again at month, then at even, that begins the 22nd. Because if you use the principle of eating or having it even at the end of the day, well, then you're violating the 1 20th day of the month. You may be okay on the 15th because that's the start, but the end you'd be eating then in the afternoon of the 21st day. And so it makes it very plain. And I think the very best scripture to prove when evening begins is in Leviticus 23. And let's just turn there and read this real quickly. Leviticus 23. And again, we'll move through some of these scriptures very rapidly. In the 27th verse of Leviticus 23, it says, "Also the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement." Verse 28 tells us some of the things that we must not do on that day. Refrain from all work the same day, because it's the day of atonement. Verse 29, whatever soul is not afflicted. So you have to afflict your soul that day, and that means don't eat, don't drink, and don't work. I mean, just very simple. Verse 30 says, if you do any work, I will destroy you. Any work. Verse 31, you should do no manner of work. And again, if you work, God will destroy you from among his people. But verse 32 is the key verse. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. And the punctuation is proper there. But it says, and you shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month, comma, or, that's where the punctuation be. And then at even, which begins the 10th day, from that even until the evening, which begins the 11th day, you celebrate that Sabbath. It's so plain because, if you eat on the end of the 10th day, then you're violating God's commands. So you have to wait until the 10th is over and the evening begins the 11th, and then you can go ahead and eat. Now let's quickly go back to Exodus 12, and we'll discuss the morning topic a little bit. In verse 10, we saw here, you shall let nothing of it remain until morning. Now turn over to verse 22, in the very end of verse 22, it said, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. It didn't say, well, now I want everybody to stay inside but Moses and Aaron. And sometimes that thought gets into people's minds. It says, nobody is to go out until morning. Verse 30, yes, Pharaoh did rose up at night. He got up in the night and all his servants, because there was dead people, as it says, in every house. And of course, the animals were also dead, and so it was a very disturbing time. So Moses and Aaron were called upon by Pharaoh's servants to get up and get out. It didn't say that they immediately jumped up and left. No, it does not say that. It's just that they were told to go, and so it wasn't until the actual morning came that they left. Now, let's turn over to Ruth. One of the best scriptures, again, on morning. You got Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. Let's look at Ruth 3. Ruth, the third chapter. We can see that Naomi had given Ruth the advice to go and come to the threshing floor where Boaz was going to be ending his day. In verse 7 it says, and when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she, that is Ruth, came softly and covered his feet and lay down. Verse 8, and it came to pass at midnight, the man was afraid. He felt something at his feet. He probably thought, well, probably a snake, or probably some vicious animal. And so he was surprised. He woke up and there's something at his feet. And verse 9 says, and he said, who are you? Basically telling us that it was very dark. He could not recognize who was at his feet. It was in the middle of the night. Midnight. Very dark. Well, she answered Ruth. Verse 13, he tells her to tarry this night. And you'll have to read the whole story to get all the other information. He tells her to stay, tarry this night. And in the morning, he'd make a decision as far as his kinsmanship. Verse 14 is the important verse here. And she, that is Ruth, lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another. In other words, before one could recognize another. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to get up about an hour and a half before some clear night and go out, get away from town, get away from the lights, get out in the country. And it's amazing how well you can see as early as an hour and a half before sunrise. You can see well enough that as you walk, you're not going to walk into a tree or a fence post or fall into a ditch or anything else, and yet you cannot identify another person if they're 25, 50 feet away from you. Perhaps if they're within 5 to 10 feet, you might, but that far away, you can tell it's a person, but you can't tell who it is. And this is precisely the time of day that Ruth left, and the Bible plainly tells us it was morning. And she rose up before anyone could recognize her. And the verse finishes, and he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor." So that's a very interesting verse. Now, there's also one in the New Testament that we need to look at here before we finish this topic. Go to Mark 1 and basically verse 35. We see in verse 30 that it is Christ that's being referred to here as he finds Simon's wife's mother sick with a fever. And, of course, he goes and lays his hand on her, as verse 31 tells, and immediately she was able to get up, the fever left, and she ministered unto the individuals. But verse 35 is the point that I want to stress here. Verse 35, "And in the morning," now this is Christ, "rising up a great while before day." So here Jesus Christ got up in the morning, but a long time before day, a long time before sunup. I suppose technically when the sun just barely peaks over the horizon, you can still consider that as morning. But once it's up full, you're into the day. It's daytime. It might be very early day, but it is daytime. So Christ again, in the morning, when it was dark, went out to the mountains to pray. He didn't carry a torch or a lantern or anything to see his way. It was light enough to where he could see, and yet it was considered as morning. And when we let the Bible explain, to us when evening is and when morning is, it becomes very, very clear in our understanding. So we should not be confused. I do honestly think that Satan is going to pull out all stops and try to get as many people upset, riled up as he possibly can in the next few months and years. And we have to be able to answer these things. The Scripture tells us that you have to be ready to give an answer. And certainly I wanted to cover this subject a little bit. Now, I thought it was very interesting that during the Holy Day sermons of the first and last day of unleavened bread, there was scriptures such as Colossians 3, Galatians 5, and then you could also read Revelation 21 that talks about some of the fruits of the flesh. Fornication, uncleanliness, covetousness, murder, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and yes, slander. And if we slander the Word of God, we are on very dangerous grounds. Certainly trying to convince somebody else that they are supposed to go against the teaching that we heard from Mr. Armstrong for many years on establishing the evening and the morning is certainly a slanderous approach. And at the end of Galatians 5:21, it tells us, "Those that do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That's what we need to live by and follow.